I'm thinking this morning how important light is. How important light is to the world, and how Jesus several times talked about the meaning of light and the importance of light. And he said in Luke chapter 8, verse 16, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light." I'm thinking this morning about how important the light is. I'm thinking this morning about how important the light, your light, is as a witness to Jesus in your life, for your family and your friends and your community, the people you work with, your influence. Your influence has great potential to bring people to faith in God. We do individually. Everyone, every Christian has certain potential to be the light of Jesus to people in the world. And then, as the lights are gathered together and they're put together, the potential for the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the church, to be the light that God wants us to be in this community. What a great potential it is. Our DS, Kerry Willis, said when he was here many months ago, and I don't have the quote down right, but it was something like this. Maybe I'm over paraphrasing, but he said, "Watch out, the church is leaving the building." Watch out. The church is leaving the building. Everywhere we go, we are to be the light of Jesus. Everything we do, every conversation we have has the potential to be the light of Jesus. Between the COVID and the ongoing fears and uncertainties and unrest, the election results and all that's still unsettled about it, there's so many places that the light of Christ has the potential to touch and change the hearts of people. We live in a day of a great opportunity to be the light that God calls us to be. A great opportunity to be the church outside of this building. Sometimes inside this building, but always wherever we're at, to be the representatives of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5 reminds us of how important these opportunities are and reminds us of how careful we should be about this day that we live in. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says this: "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Would you go on to that next slide, please? Look at those words with me. Be very careful then. These were written 2,000 years ago. The perspective of the Apostle Paul to the church and the day he lived in. These are important days. There's a spiritual truth about the importance of this day to the church and the potential for influence that God wants us to have. He wants us to be a light today, to make the most of every opportunity. "Therefore, do not be foolish," the next verse says, "but understand what the Lord's will is." Understand that God has a plan and a will for the church today. Don't think that the only days that are important are the days behind us. Today is the day that God calls us to be the light. The light can't do anything about yesterday. And the light can't do anything about tomorrow. But the light can be there today, where we're at, what we're doing, to be the influence that God wants us to. And so I say today is the day of opportunity. Today is the day to be careful, to not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is in the day, in these days. And I know for some people, these days have seemed so crazy to them and so unsettling. But I think of the words of Jesus, how he said in different places, "Be of good cheer, be encouraged. I have overcome the world." There's nothing going on in 2020 that Jesus doesn't know about or didn't know about and didn't know would happen. And in the midst of that, he wants to people to come to faith. Our church and our light in these days are so important. How we handle these circumstances. What we show about trusting God in times that are uncertain says so much to the people around us. Our priorities, our care for one another are an important witness. And when we're not trusting God, that's a witness too. But that's not the witness that God wants us to have. If you have a Bible and you want to read with me, Colossians chapter 3, I want to read 6 verses this morning. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. These words are familiar. I preached 3 sermons from this area of Colossians about 5 months ago, and I want to preach the 4th one today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Hear the word of the Lord. The first verse I preached about, but then we'll go from there. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And then chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. I'd like to mention this morning 5 qualities of what I believe our church needs to have in order to have a bright light during these days. There's far more than 5, but there's 5 from the scripture that I want to highlight today. 5 things that are important to us if our light's going to shine brightly. The first one is this: we must be a thankful people. We must be a people that have in our hearts a thankful spirit to God for our lives and for what God's done among us and God's done in us. We must be a people that have a thankful heart and express it. Thanksgiving that's not expressed is not a light. What would you call that? Maybe an inner warmer, maybe. Thanksgiving is to be both something we feel, and it's a part of who we are, and also we express that, and so people can see that we have a joyful and a thankful spirit. Thanksgiving is a form of accountability of our respect for God and the awesomeness of who God is. When we have a thankful spirit and it comes out of us, it squeaks out, it leaks out, it jumps out, it's forced out. When we have a thankful spirit, then people see that around us. They see that we are governed by something different, something that is internal, but it becomes external. Last week, I talked about baptism and how baptism is an outward sign of an inward faith. First, you have the faith and you learn and you believe and you move toward God, and baptism is one step to express it outwardly. In the same way, a thankful spirit starts within. But then when that spirit is genuine and true, it will come out and it will be a part of who you are. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's so important that the church has the joy of the Lord in their lives, in their circumstances, in the middle of COVID, in the middle of politics, that we make sure that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's what people see in us and they sense in us and what's important to us. A thankful spirit moves the focus from our problems to the power of God, from the things around us and our circumstances to God's kingdom and God's perspective. I notice in these words 3 times the call to be thankful for. First, in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Letting Jesus rule in your life. And being thankful for that and expressing that. At the end of verse 16 it says, sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Gratitude, thankfulness is something that at first has got to be deep down within you. That's an issue of respect of God and hearing God's perspective and trusting God. And verse 17 says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's so important that your faith be a life of thanksgiving to God. That says so much to the people around you. We also must be a focused people with our eyes on Jesus, on the mission, on the call, on what Jesus tells us to be about. There's so many distractions out there that they may be good distractions, but they can keep us from keeping our eyes on the mission that Jesus called us to. And that is, take the gospel to the people around us. To love people with the love of God so that they're drawn to Him. We can't save people. We can't convict people. But the way we keep our focus on what we believe, we can draw people to Him. And not letting the little things steal our joy or our attention. There's so many things in life that can drown out the importance of the call and the mission. That can just, as Jesus talked about in the parable of the soil, the four soil was that, yeah, the seed went down and was planted and it grew up and it looked like it was going to be great. But then there were so many other things that came in that it choked off the plant and it didn't bear fruit. And so Jesus tells us not to let things to distract us. The scripture here says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Or one translation says, dwell in your hearts richly. Let the message of Jesus, let the message of Jesus be what your faith is centered on. The message of hope, the message of salvation. Hold on to the message. Number three, we must be a united people. Our unity is so important for the world to see. And there are so many things that can distract us from being united as God's people. Certainly COVID can do it. And it has done it in many places. And people feel so strongly and they have such strong opinions that they're also not allowing other people to have their opinions without feelings and differences and arguments. And so even the COVID has divided many people. The COVID has divided churches. I'm so thankful today that I can say, as best I know, that our church has not fallen into that problem, and I'm thankful for that. Though we have a lot of people that are opinionated, we found a way, at least that I see, and of course I might not see things, but we have found a way to keep working together even though we might feel different about how to respond to COVID. Thank you for that. May God help us to do that. May God help us to not let the things that could distract us to get us off the course of what God wants for us. Even in the best of days, we're a different, divergent group of people. We're different. We have different backgrounds, different training, different viewpoints, different personalities, different gifts, different graces, and we see things different. God, help us not to allow anything to divide us. God, help us not to let the little things somehow get in there and destroy the unity of the church. I said before how important it is that the church see the world see the unity of the church. It's because when the world sees the disunity of the church, it has no witness. It has no light. God, help us to do that. Help us to do that. Verse 14 says, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Lord God, help us to have a love that overcomes. Anything short is not God's best, and it dulls the light of our influence. Number four, God, help us to have the fruit of the Spirit that He writes of in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. How important it is to measure our fruitfulness, measure our light by the fruit in our lives. Measuring by the fruit. This is what people will see, and they will believe makes us genuine followers of Jesus. And even more when it's missing, people know that. I want to talk for a couple minutes about a problem we had at the church this week. I became aware that somebody's feelings were hurt very badly. And I heard about it. I was thankful that somebody brought it to me and we could talk about it, and we did. We had an opportunity to get together and talk it through. It was about politics. So you wonder what it's about. It's about politics. It was really because someone felt like, whether it was true or not, they felt that way, that they were out of the mainstream of what some of us believed, and they expressed it, and some people really, they felt like people kind of cut into them pretty good. Really made them feel pretty bad. Or they could have been too sensitive too. I don't mean to say it's one or the other. Sometimes it's somewhere in between. But whatever the case, there was somebody that had a political opinion that wasn't popular in the people that were there here at church. And so they kind of, not realizing how they came across, really said some things that were very hurtful to them. That can happen. It does in life, you know. I was thankful that I had the opportunity to be able to talk about it and get in the conversation. Our DS also talked about the importance of staying in the conversation, and that's important. His life sometimes throw stuff at you, and it's painful. But to be able to keep talking about it and working it through is very important. And I'm so thankful the person that was perceived as being the offender apologized very sincerely, and that apology was accepted. I don't mean it fixes all the feelings. We all deal with those when we have conflicts. We know that. But it's a good step in the journey of how to deal with conflict. And so it just made me think of a couple things I just wanted to kind of say as a Christian today. Number one is, be careful how you treat people that feel different than you do. We all know that. I'm not saying anything new to you, but the reminder of that is important. There are people around you that don't see the world quite like you do, and I do. And just being careful about that and being sensitive. Again, there's two sides of that. Sometimes I think we're a little bit too thin-skinned and we probably get hurt a little too easy. In fact, I've felt that way about the church for a long time, that sometimes we allow things to get to us that really it'd be better if we had a little thick-skinned and rolled a little bit better. But we have different personalities, and sometimes things hurt. Sometimes they hurt because people are out of line and they mess up and they say something stupid or they say something insensitive and you're hurt. Other times people say something that really probably the next person wouldn't have been hurt by, but because of your life or your sensitivities or what's gone on in your life, it hurts more. But I really want to say to both people on both sides how important it is for us to be a sensitive people to one another, and also to ask God to help us when we're offended, when we're hurt, to know how to deal with that. And I just want to say in this case, I really appreciate, and I ask permission of both people that I could talk about this today without any other details of that, other than we know this happens. It happens to all of us at times. But I think Colossians chapter 3 reminds us how important it is that we hold on to the fruit of the Spirit about patience and kindness. And certainly what it says beyond here about forgiveness, how important it is for us to be able to understand when people are different than we are, maybe have a different core value than we do. I think of the scripture that I kind of chose as a governing scripture when we started in the virus was this: honor one another above yourselves. And how we view our opinion and other people's opinion, that we're always respectful of each other. And we show that. And it's okay for people to have a different opinion. And I'm not saying anything. I mean, I think it's great to have a little back and forth and dialogue and, you know, healthy disagreement. I'm all for that. That's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about being sensitive to someone who we may not realize how deeply they feel or where we may be further along in some area. And knowing that people are more important than positions. People are more important than being right. At least that's what I read about relationships and I hear here. I also read in verse 13 here, bear with each other, bear with one another, and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against someone. How important it is for us to have that spirit and attitude. Sometimes we might feel grieved. That's life. That's variety. But the Bible says, bear with one another, forgive one another. Hold on to that need to be able to do that. One more scripture about that, and then I'm going to move to my fifth point. I think it's a point that Scott made earlier. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 says, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Part of what Scott said fits this too. Satan is out to diminish the light of this church. I can tell you that. I might not know where, I don't know where he's going to attack, but I just want to tell you right now, through this Christmas season, Satan is going to try to diminish what we're doing in the Christmas bazaar. So we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of what the potential is and where Satan might attack us. But what I notice in this verse, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. This is Paul writing this. I don't know who he was thinking about specifically, but apparently there is someone that hurt Paul, it would seem like, or Paul felt had offended him or done wrong or sinned. I don't know how serious it was, but he says, I've forgiven in front of Jesus for your sake. One of the reasons we forgive is to release other people. It's not the only reason, because we also know forgiveness helps to release us. But here Paul says, I forgive in order to help you. And so we remember how important in the church and the body of Christ forgiveness is. How important it is that we live with that spirit and that attitude. We're going to make mistakes. Sometimes they're more culpable than others. But the ability to forgive is so important to the light of the church and who we are. Point number 5, we must be a praying people. We need this more and more in 2020 and 2021 to be a praying people, listening to God, talking to God about who we are and what we are and where we are. Chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. Without prayer, it just seems like the whole thing can come apart. Without prayer and that attitude of humility before God, and I'm not thinking of prayer so much about talking to God as I am listening to God. Without that quiet time, that quiet place in my life, in your life, we are subject to all this stuff and conflict that can rise up and diminish the light. God, help the light not to be diminished in my life and in this church and who we are spiritually. There's a 2-minute video that we're going to play now that pretty much says what I want to say today. And then I'm going to ask Pastor Shane, and I'm going to ask Graham Yaunt, I'm going to ask Carrie Sholley to come and lead us in a closing prayer to pray for the church. I'm going to ask you in a moment after this video to stand. And just ask us, whether you're here present this morning or you're on the phone and you can listen, or you're watching with Facebook or YouTube, to pray for the church and be asking God that our church would be the light that you want us to. Would you play that video, and then the three of you can come on to the platform if you would.
Yeah. there's only one preference we need to be concerned of, and that's a preference in you. That you are our number one preference, Lord God, in our lives. And as a church family, that our preference is focused and centered on you, Lord God. And so I pray today, let it be. May our preference, may our focus be centered on the triune God. We love you and we praise you. I pray this in your name today, Lord God.
Dear God, thank you for this day, and thank you that we all get to gather here and worship you. Dear God, please help us to just be lights in the darkness, and please help this election to go how you want it to go, and your will be done, God. Please help us to just follow you and spread you everywhere we go. Please help us to just be thankful, and thank you for providing for us, filling our every need, dear God. Thank you for loving us. Amen.
Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us today. We sang about your great faithfulness, and truly, you are faithful to us. You're one of the things in this world that we can count on every day, that you will be true and faithful to us, and we're so thankful for that. I'm thankful for your protection and faithfulness to me during this week when an accident that I had could have been much, much worse, but you sent your guardian angels to protect me, and I'm so thankful for that today. Thankful for the way that you ministered to us through the music today, how it spoke to our hearts. Thankful for your Holy Spirit that came and met with us today. Could sense your Spirit here with us throughout this service. Thank you for the message that Pastor shared about our need to let our light shine in this dark world. And truly, we do live in a dark world. We know that there's a real battle going on between good and evil. We know that we as a church need to stand for good. We need to stand for what's right. We need to stand for truth. Your word tells us that, Jesus, you came to testify to the truth. And we as Christians, we as followers of you, we want to also stand for the truth and testify to that truth. And that truth is that you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to God except through Jesus Christ. We just pray that you would help our church in the days ahead to be the light that it needs to be in this dark world. Help us, give us the strength to stand up for what is right and what is true, and be willing to share the gospel with those around us. We know that the devil would like nothing more than to stamp out truth and stamp out our shining light. But we also know that greater is you than he that is in the world. And so we just ask that you would give us the strength that we need for the days ahead. We know that if the church doesn't share what is right and what is good, that no one in this world is going to know what is true and what is right and what is good. So help us to be the light that we need to be in this dark world. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your nearness to us today. We just ask that you would continue to bless our church. Help us in the days ahead to be all that you want us to be. It doesn't matter what we want for a church. What matters is what you want for a church. And that is our prayer today, that our church would be everything that you want it to be. And we ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
Let's sing that song. I think we know it well enough to sing it. Some of you musicians, help us, Lord, let your light shine on us. Could we try that? Paula, sing out, would you?
Lord,
Help us to be a light church and a praying church. Thanks for being here today. God bless you.